Hey guys, and welcome back to a new episode of Spill the Murder. Today we're doing the Canal Killer. This takes place in London, England. So, there you go. And also, this beginning part of it is in my TikTok. So, let me tell you my TikTok then. Because I barely use it. No, seriously, I barely use my TikTok. It's literally called my name, Dea, D-E-A, and Z-O-L-L-O. So it's at Dea Zoll. So, yeah, I uploaded like a few minutes ago about it. So, yeah. Interesting, right? Yeah, I did. Hold on a second. I'm just looking at my TikTok right now. Yeah, just looking at my TikTok. Just to see if I'm, like, correct and also hearing things, too. Like, hearing. Sorry. That took me, like, a minute to figure out. But without further ado, let's get on with the case. In the late 1700s, London was growing rapidly, and merchants needed a way to get goods to the seagoing ships on the River Thames. The vast series of canals and locks were built throughout the city to bring the goods to the Thames using small canal boats. Those canals still exist today, though they're no longer used for trade. Today, the canals offer a peaceful place for walkers, runners, boaters, and cyclists and tourists to enjoy away from the city traffic. Regent's Canals was built in 1812 and is still one of the most beautiful canals of London. It stretches over 8 miles of Paddington to Thames, encircling the heart of the city. The canal banks are very popular and usually quite busy. On an afternoon on February 2001, two boys were fishing in Regent's Canal when one of their lines got caught on something on the bottom of the canal. When the boys reeled the line, they could see it had snagged a duffel bag. They managed to drag the bag to the edge of the canal but needed help getting it into the bank. Curious, the boys unzipped the bag and find it filled with bricks and ceramic tiles. Also inside was something wrapped tightly in plastic. They found the plastic and were hit with a stench of decomposition, and they called the London police and confirmed it was a human body part. The police were sent into the drainage, the canal, to dredge the canal, not dredge, drainage. Dredged the canal, and divers found 5 additional duffel bags filled with bricks and each containing more body parts. 6 bags were found in total with 10 body parts. The torso had been cut in half, the legs at the hips and knees, and the arms were cut at the shoulders and elbows. Head and hands and feet were all missing. An autopsy revealed that the body was a female, but not much forensic evidence was available at the time. Blood work was sent to the lab, and through DNA, they were able to find out who she was. She was in the system for drug offenses and prostitution. The body belonged to 31-year-old Paula Fields. Paula was a mother of three that was originally from Liverpool. She had moved to London to try to better her life, but became addicted to crack cocaine and turned to prostitution. Social services had taken her children away from her. Police found that Paula had been dating a man named Joe Johnson 4 months earlier. They could find no record of Joe Johnson at all, though he had a roommate named Tony Sweeney. Not Sydney Sweeney from the HBO. Well, it was HBO. Now it's Max. Max, Euphoria. No. What we're talking about, Tony Sweeney. Had a lengthy police record, Tony Sweeney's brother John had also had a record. He had been wanted for the attempted murder for his girlfriend in 1994. Before long, police realized that Joe Johnson was actually the fugitive John Sweeney. The soil and the bricks used to weigh down... on the duffel bags was shown to have come from the garden where Sweeney lived in Digby Crescent in London, but that wasn't enough to convict him for the murders of Paula Fields. John Sweeney had been on the run from the police for almost 7 years, using different names under whenever he went. He was working as a carpenter on a construction site at central London, where he was arrested on March 23rd, 2001. Sweeney was arrested for attempted murder for his former girlfriend, Dahlia Balmer, almost 7 years earlier in 1994. But police hoped that they could also gather enough evidence to link him to the murder of Paula Fields. At the time of his arrest in 2000, Dahlia Balmer was still living in London and working as a nurse. Dahlia had met John Sweeney in London pub in 1991. They had dated and traveled throughout Europe together, and eventually the couple decided to share a flat, which is a term they use in the UK as an apartment in London. Over time, their relationship soured as Sweeney became increasingly aggressive and possessive. By 1994, Dahlia had decided it was time to end the relationship and change the locks on their home. But Sweeney didn't take that kindly to that. When Dahlia returned home from work, Sweeney had followed her. As she opened her door, he ran up behind her and pushed her through the door and held her captive for seven full days. During that time, he had tied her to her bed, repeatedly beat her, raped her, and threatened to cut her tongue if she screamed. When Dahlia's friends from work came to her home, They knew someone was inside, but nobody can come to the door. They called the Kentish Town police. When the police arrived, Sweeney had Dahlia open the door ever so lightly when he hid behind the door. Police could tell that Dahlia's demeanor was something was terribly wrong and forced the door open. Dahlia ran out the door and into the street while police pushed their way in and arrested Sweeney on November 14, 1994, for assault, rape, and unlawful confinement. Inside, they found evidence that Sweeney had plans to kill Dahlia and dispose of her body. Sweeney had a quote-unquote murder kit containing plastic ground sheeting, orange rubber gloves, rolls of tape, a saw, a bow knife, and a box cutter knife. Dahlia told police that while Sweeney had tied her up, he told her that he had murdered his prior girlfriend, Melissa, in Amsterdam, and he said that she was an American, and he walked in on her having sex with two German men, and he told her that he shot all three of them and sat with their dead bodies for several days, and then dismembered them and dumped them in canals of Amsterdam. He told Dahlia that if he was a good girl, she would end up like Melissa. Also inside the flat, police found several firearms and hundreds of paintings and poetry Sweeney had created. Both the artwork and the poetry were violent, dark, and graphic. The images of body dismemberment, bloody bodies, and women being tortured. The poetry seemed to be a confession to his mayhem. One poem read, quote, "Poor old Melissa chopped her head in bits, chopped her up in bits." Well, I'm going to reread it again, sorry, because I keep saying the wrong wording to it. Saying again, his poem said, "Poor old Melissa chopped her up in bits, food to feed the fish, Amsterdam was the pits," end quote. Police now suspected that Sweeney was a serial killer and had murdered at least one other girl in the same way that Paula Fields was murdered. London police, contacted Amsterdam Amsterdam police in, but they had no record of a murder matching their inquiry. Unfortunately, Sweeney was released on bail after a month in jail for his assault on Dahlia, and Dahlia Bomber was not notified of his release. Under the terms of his bail, Sweeney was not to go near Dahlia, but that didn't stop him. Within hours of his release, he was hiding near Dahlia's door again, waiting for her to return home from work. As she approached her front door, Sweeney savagely attacked her with a knife and an axe, slashing her chest, cutting off one of her fingers. Luckily, a neighbor heard her screams, grabbed the baseball bat, and hit Sweeney across the back with it, and Sweeney ran from the scene, and Dahlia barely escaped with her life. Both of her arms were broken, and her lungs was punctured, and her chest was permanently scarred. Sweeney went on the run using several aliases and remained undetected by police until his arrest in 2001, after Paula Field's body was found. Though police didn't have enough evidence to prove that John Sweeney had hacked up Paula Fields and dumped her in Regent's Canal, they had enough to get him into prison while they searched for more evidence. Sweeney was sentenced to serve 9 years in prison for the attempted murder of Dahlia and firearms charges. This gave police some time to find more evidence in the Paula Fields case, though Amsterdam authorities weren't able to find any information on bodies dumped in the canals. They did, however, have a report of an American girl named Melissa Halstead. Ironic, because there is a Halstead character in Chicago PD that plays a detective that was reported missing in April 1990 by her family. Unfortunately, they had no more information other than that. Melissa Halstead was a rebellious young American girl that had dated Sweeney in the late 80s. She was a beautiful girl who had worked as a model for Ford Modeling in New York, then moved to London and took up photography. The two had a tumultuous relationship with frequent violent arguments. On one occasion, he threw a chair at her, which permanently scarred her face, but she always seemed to forgive him. In 1988, Melissa was deported from the United Kingdom for working without a permit. She then left Sweeney and moved to Vienna, Austria. Sweeney followed her and broke into the apartment that she was sharing with a roommate, tied up her roommate and searched the apartment for evidence that she had another lover. Later that day, he hunted her down and beat her with a claw hammer. Sweeney was jailed for 6 months for the attack, but despite the abuse, Melissa again stayed with him, and they moved around to Europe, Stuttgart, Milan, and ultimately Amsterdam. Their relationship was still The relationship was still in constant turmoil. And Melissa told her sister, Chance O'Hara, saying, quote, "If I ever go missing, John Sweeney has killed me," end quote. The most recent photo the police found in Sweeney's belongings was April 13th, 1990, around the time that Melissa's family last heard of her. Though Sweeney was placed in prison in March 2002, it was only temporary. He would be eligible for parole soon, and potentially could be on the street before they found more evidence on Melissa Halstead and Paula Fields' case. In 2004, the death of Paula Fields became a cold case. In 2007, 6 years after Paula Fields' body parts were found, the London police got a call from the Rotterdam Cold Case Investigation Team. They're investigating all their unsolved cases from 1990 onward. And on May 1990, Rotterdam police had pulled several duffel bags from the Westerschelde Canal in Rotterdam. Like Paula Fields, the bags had been weighed down with bricks and contained several dismembered female body parts. The head, hands, and feet were missing. The Rotterdam team had already spoken to police in Amsterdam and suspected they were the remains of Melissa Halstead. Melissa was reported missing just 1 month before Rotterdam had found the body parts. In January of 2008, just as time was running out, Sweeney could soon be eligible for parole. Amsterdam, Rotterdam, and London police worked together to exhume the remains of the unidentified body parts in 1990, using the DNA of her relatives 18 years after she had been reported missing. Sorry, my dogs are barking. Our dogs are barking. I'm gonna wait for him to be quiet, just like how teachers always say, I'm gonna wait. Dutch detectives confirmed the dismembered girl was Melissa Halstead. Though there was no realistic, forensic evidence against Sweeney, the similarities of the case were all too familiar. On April 26, 2009, John Sweeney was removed from his cell and interviewed. He was officially charged with the murders of both Paula Fields and Melissa Halstead, but he made no comment. During the trial, prosecutors showed the jury his artwork and poetry. There were over 200 images, many depicting several body parts, similar to how the body parts were found. One painting showed a man with a knife raised above his head, preparing to stab a woman. The caption read, "A romantic weekend for two in Austria." Another showed a female body with its hands, feet, and head cut off. One of the most damning paintings was an image of Melissa Halstead. Next to her head was a tombstone. The text on the tombstone was covered with white correction fluid. Forensic investigators used ultraviolet light to see behind the correction fluid. He was trying to hide the writing on the tombstone that read, quote, R.I.P. Melissa Halstead, born 7/12/56. So she was born July, if I'm not mistaken, July 12, 1956. Died. End quote. Yeah, another one of the paintings was a self-portrait where he had a bloody axe tucked into his belt where he sat in prison, and he created many more additional paintings with dismembered women's bodies cut in the same manner as both Paula and Melissa. During his trial, Sweeney often yelled at the prosecution, arguing that his paintings were random nonsense and abstract. He claimed that many were made while he was tripping on LSD and weren't meant to be taken as a confession. Jury later, however, found his paintings and poetry as confessions of murders. After 10 hours of deliberation, the jury came back with a guilty verdict. On April 5th, 2011, John Sweeney was sentenced to a whole life tariff, meaning he would spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. The sentence was extremely rare in the United Kingdom, with less than 100 prisoners serving a whole life tariff. Police also believe that Sweeney may have been responsible for the disappearance of several more girls. A Brazilian girl named Irene, a Colombian girl named Maria, and a nurse named Debbie Shire, England named Sue. During his incarceration, Sweeney described them as some of his 30 to 40 girlfriends that police have not been able to locate. And that, people, is the end of the Canal Killer. Now, the next episode is going to be about the head in the basket. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. You guys, take care. Bye.